All right, well, tonight we're going to look at 2 Samuel chapter 6, as I mentioned. And the essence of this chapter is that David brings the ark to Jerusalem. David brings the ark to Jerusalem is basically what this chapter is about. And so let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verses 1 through 3, and then we'll talk about what's going on. And David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name, the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. All right, let's give a little history. Well, how in the world did we get here to begin with, right? What has been happening with the Ark of the Covenant prior to this point? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Ark of the Covenant is lost in battle to the Philistines. And as a result of the Philistines capturing the ark, which is a completely another story that we'll talk about some other time, but they kept the ark, they put it before their god Dagon, and Dagon fell flat on his face several times, and so they decided they didn't want it anymore. They moved it around to various different cities, and all of those cities began to be afflicted with plagues and all kinds of problems. And finally, it got back to Israel because the Philistines were like, we don't want this thing anymore. And this is all told in 1 Samuel chapter 4, 5, and 6. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, it arrives in a town called Beth Shemesh. But they had problems with it there because it says the men of Israel looked on it and they ended up dying because they looked on it when they were forbidden to look on it. And so finally it was moved to this town that is identified here, Baal Judah, which is also known as Kirjath Jearim, according to 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1. And so Joshua 15 and verse 19 identifies these two towns as being the same town, just by different names, because of the different cultures that had settled in these towns from time to time. And there the ark stayed, according to 1 Samuel 7 verse 2, it stayed in this town for 20 years in the house of Abinadab. And so, now David wants to move it from there back to Jerusalem. And his desires are good. He wants to call upon the Lord with the Ark of the Covenant. He wants it to be back where it is supposed to be. It's not where it's supposed to be right now. And he wants all that to be restored. And so tonight we're going to look at David's bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. First of all, we see that in this story, David desired God's holy things. And the Ark of the Covenant was one of God's holy things. There were other things in the tabernacle. There was the table of showbread. There was the altar of incense. There was the lampstand. And these were all God's holy things. And it was forbidden for anyone but the priest to look upon these things and for anyone but the high priest to look upon the Ark of the Covenant. When they moved it, they had to cover it, and they had to put the poles in it that they moved it with, and the Levites, who were not priests, they were not permitted to look at these holy things. The priests had to wrap them all up first before they could move them, and then the Levites would come in, and they would be the one who transported these items when they were moved. And so David doesn't know about all of that, though. And so what does he do? He gathers the choice men of Israel. They went to where the ark was located. and they put it on a new cart. It had been transported from the Philistines to the Israelites on a cart drawn by oxen. And when it arrived in Israel, the people, the town at which it arrived, the people there were smart enough to take it off the cart and to sacrifice the oxen to the Lord so as not to draw the Lord's anger upon them. And so, but now it is in the house of Abinadab, and as they are moving it, Uzzah and Ahio, who are the sons of Abinadab, are the ones who are in charge of the cart and the oxen who are pulling the cart. And it says Ahio is in the front. And that means Uzzah is in the back or on the side or something like that. And so David and all the house of Israel also, it says here in verse 4 and 5, they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on citrons, and on cymbals. And David and his people were in front of the Ark of the Covenant, rejoicing as it was being brought back to Jerusalem. David desired God's holy things, and he made an effort to bring God's holy things back to where they're supposed to be. Do we desire God's holy things? You know, David's attitude was right here. He wanted holy things. He wanted to worship God with the ark. 1 Chronicles 13 verse 3 tells us that he wanted to call upon the Lord with the ark of the covenant. And certainly that's a good thing. But God is holy. And God wants us to be holy as well. And when we call upon God in our desires to have holy things in our life, we've got to think about how God wants us to do those things. God says, "For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall be therefore holy, for I am holy." Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 45. God wants us to desire holy things. Do we desire the things that God desires? David certainly did, and that is good on his part. But then secondly, David discovered that God's things were holy. David discovered that God's things were holy. Look at verses 6 through 11 here. "And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God." And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. All right, so David found out that God's holy things are holy, and that somehow he had made a mistake here. The ark came to Nachon's threshing floor, and the oxen stumbled, the text says. And like just about anybody would do, you know, if they saw something about to fall off of a cart, they would reach their hands up and they would try to stop it from falling. And so that's what Uzzah did. He put his hands out to try to prevent the ark from falling, and he did something that was prohibited for him to do. He touched the Ark of the Covenant. Numbers chapter 4 and verse 15 says, they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. And so that was a holy thing, and God had prohibited them to touch it. And so God's anger was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him dead right there. Well, David became angry because of this. And David was also afraid of the Lord because of this. And he asked a very good question. How can the ark of the Lord come to me? And so instead of bringing it on into Jerusalem, he left it there because he was concerned that he might not be doing something in the right way. And he was right to be concerned about that. David wanted to know how to handle God's holy things. And he discovered that God's things were holy. Do we properly respect God's holy things? You know, in the story of the Ark of the Covenant, it travels in a lot of places. It goes to the Philistines, where there the god, false god Dagon is cut down and his hands are cut off and a whole bunch of things. And it's moved from there to other places. And God sends plagues because they're not respecting his holy things. And like we said earlier, that thousands of men died in the place where it was at in Beth Shemesh because they were looking at the ark. And that was forbidden for them to look at the ark. Why was that? Why did all of these things happen in relationship to the ark? Because God is a holy God, and he must be approached with holiness. And none of these others approached him with holiness. In Exodus 19, in verses 21 and 22, we have this. And the Lord said to Moses, and the scene is that the children of Israel have gathered outside of the mountain on which God is currently abiding. And he is about to give them the Ten Commandments there in Exodus chapter 20. And Exodus chapter 20 tells us something very special about those Ten Commandments, that God spoke them directly to the people. And so he was in the mountain, and they were down at the foot of the mountain. And there was a prohibition given for any of the people to come and to touch the mountain. And so this is what God told Moses. He said, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. Why is that the case? Why is it that normal human beings cannot be in the presence of God? Well, one of the problems is because humanity has been fundamentally affected by sin. And sin has to be dealt with before humans can come into God's presence. And so if that sin isn't dealt with, or if one approaches God in an unholy way, it's part of God's being to eliminate the unholiness. He is a holy being. His being is holiness. Now, that's a kind of a hard concept to get, but it would be like approaching the sun. This is just an illustration. But if you approach the sun, what do you have to have? Say you had a spacecraft and you could go up into space and you could fly toward the sun, and you were going to do that because of some kind of experiment that you were conducting or something, and you were going to approach that. Well, you'd have to have a spacecraft that could manage the heat that came off the sun, that could ablate that heat, that could protect you inside from all of the damaging radiation that comes off the sun. You know, you would need to make you would have to be in the correct position, so to speak, in order to approach the sun. Well, the sun isn't anywhere near as powerful as the God of all creation is. So to approach the God of all creation in an unholy state is to invite destruction. Just as if we were to approach the sun in a spacecraft that wasn't prepared and wasn't correct, it would invite destruction. Why? Because of the type of being that is being approached. And that's who God is. God is a holy God. And to approach Him in unholiness is to invite destruction. So now we see that David has an issue. And he asks, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? He's concerned, and rightly so. Well, we see next that David deferred to God's holy things. He consulted God's will. In 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 13, he says this, "For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord broke out against us, because we did not consult Him about the proper order." So the problem was that they didn't ask God how to do this. They presumed to put the ark on the cart and to pull the ark with the oxen. And in presuming, they did it the wrong way. David learned that the ark had to be carried by the Levites in order to be transported correctly. Numbers chapter 4 and verse 15 talks about the will of God on how to transport the ark. And Exodus 25, 14 through 15 says, "You shall put the pole into the rings on the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. The pole shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it." And so they were to carry the ark, not put it on a cart. And David recognizes that. And so he adjusts his plan to match the Lord's plan. And that's a very important point. You know, David didn't go back to the Lord and say to the Lord, "Well, you didn't tell me not to carry it by a cart." You know, I suppose they could have transported the ark in a lot of different ways, on a cart, or could have put logs underneath it and pushed it, you know. Maybe they could have used, drug it on the ground with ropes or something like that. There's a lot of ways they could have transported the ark, but God only authorized one way. He said, "Put poles in it and carry it." And that's what God expected them to do. Now, there's so many people today who want to approach a holy God in an unholy way. And they're surprised when things don't quite work out the way that they think they should work out. Well, David was surprised. But instead of being upset about it, he consulted the Lord's will, and he changed to do it the Lord's way. And that's how we ought to approach things today. David finally understood how to transport the Ark of the Covenant. And so he did that. He brought the Ark from the house of Obed-Edom, and he had the Levites carry the Ark, as it says here in verses 12 and 13. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. All right. So David understood that he had to change the way he carried the ark, and he did that. And so now you have people who are bearing the ark as opposed to it being drawn on a cart. Do we defer to God's holy things? David understood that he did the wrong way, and so he changed. Do we change when we're convicted of doing something the wrong way? In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus comments on the notion of one living according to the Word of God. And he says, "Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it." And that's what we need to do within our life. Hear the Word of God and keep it. David heard the Word of God and he kept it. When we don't follow God's will and we do things our own way, we err. What happens when we don't consult God about the proper way to do things? What happens when we don't consult Him about the proper order? The same kind of problems that happened to David. And then finally, David delighted in God's holy things. When God's holy things are properly respected, when a person does the things the way God wants them to be done, there is joy, there is delight, and there is true worship. Notice what happens here in verse 14 and following. "Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. When David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone, a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone, to his house." What a beautiful picture then of successfully respecting God's holy things. David's worship was delightful after this because he was doing things according to the Word of God. It says he danced before the Lord, verse 16. He offered burnt offerings, verse 17. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord, verse 18. He gave food to everyone, verse 19. And he refused to apologize for his correct behavior to Michal in verses 20 through 23. How about us? Do we delight in worshiping the Lord today? Now, we don't offer burnt offerings anymore. We don't dance in worship to the Lord anymore. We don't distribute food to everybody when they come to worship like they did in that time as they were offering the sacrifices. We don't do that anymore under the new covenant. What do? We pray, we sing, we partake of the Lord's Supper, we study God's Word, and we give. And all of these things are to be done accompanied by joy. All of these things are to be done accompanied by the correct attitude. Think about when we pray. Philippians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says that when he remembered the church at Corinth in prayer, he did it with all joy. He was joyous in his prayer. Are we joyous in our prayers? Is any man merry? Let him sing psalms. James chapter 5, verse 13 tells us. Do we employ joy when we sing these songs? When we partake of the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're supposed to do it with thanksgiving, an attitude of thankfulness, an attitude of joy, an attitude of praise to God. Do we do that with the right attitude? When we study God's Word, Romans chapter 7, verse 22 talks about delighting in the law of the Lord. Do we delight to study the Word of God? Do we have joy? How about when we give? We know 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says the Lord loves a what? A cheerful giver, right? We can rejoice in the worship of God when we are doing it according to the Lord's will. David delighted in God's holy things. Do we delight in those holy things? Think about this chapter and think about David bringing the ark to Jerusalem and think about properly regarding God's holy things. David desired God's holy things. David discovered that God's things are holy. David deferred to God's holy things. And David delighted in God's holy things. And I hope that as we look at this story in 2 Samuel, we can learn the great lessons that we find here about God's holy things. Well, God is holy, as we mentioned earlier. For us to approach Him, we must be holy as well. And God has provided for us today through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus the Christ. For us to approach a holy God today, we've got to do so through Jesus' holiness. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Do you desire to come to the Father in holiness this evening? To do so, you must hear the Word of God and believe it. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins so that your unholiness can be taken away and so that you may then approach God in holiness through Jesus Christ. If you've already done that, but perhaps you've turned back to the world, tonight would be a great opportunity to make things right with God so that when you come before Him, you can do so with holiness. Let's consult the Word of God on these matters and let the Word of God tell us what we need to do to approach Him in holiness today. And if you need the prayers of the church or you would like to be baptized this evening, then we stand ready to help you. And you can come forward now and ask for that help while together we stand and while we sing.